Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 68 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
These folks are actually beginning to automate the service and support side of the network, which is a spectacular accomplishment.
A communications company will expand by building a permanent facility in Moorhead.
Crews are battling 5 active wildfires in the Daniel Boone National Forest.
The Appalachian Regional Commission will invest $44 million in coal-impacted communities.
A local author and chef will be at Coffee Tree Books tomorrow.
An Eastern Kentucky school board attorney is calling for schools to remove prayer lockers.
In sports, Moorhead Volleyball hosts Eastern Kentucky tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 53. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A company that builds top-secret communication radios plans to expand its Moorhead operations. Officials with Ragent Corporation made the announcement on Wednesday during the Southeast Kentucky Economic Development Contracting Symposium. CEO Bob Shana says his company has purchased land in the city to build a permanent home for Ragent.
Every single person I've dealt with since I stepped off that plane 4 years ago has delivered on what they said they would do. And that's incredible. You know, a lot of places you hear a lot, people don't walk, they don't walk it. Here they walk it. So I would say, that's frankly more important than talent, because what's talent that you can't trust?
Ragent has leased a building in downtown Moorhead for the past 4 years. The company is currently employing 24 people.
Fire crews are continuing to deal with multiple wildfires in the Daniel Boone National Forest. There are currently 5 active wildfires within the forest, however, only 2 of them aren't 100% contained. Ludi Bond is a public information officer for the Daniel Boone National Forest. She says the next step for crews is to reach controlled status.
And what that means is the fire is not considered 100% controlled until there's no visible smoke and no visible flame. So there's still some heat that's being observed within the containment lines of these fires. So until the firefighters are not observing any more heat on these fires, they will not be considered 100% controlled.
Bond also says it's important to halt all drone usage in the DBNF for the time being. Air resources have been made available to assist with the fires, and if a drone is detected in the area, it would force the landing of those aircrafts.
The Appalachian Regional Commission has announced $44.4 million for 54 projects affecting coal-impacted communities in Appalachian states. The commission said Tuesday that the Partnerships for Opportunity and Workforce and Economic Revitalization Initiative aims to create or retain over 5,700 jobs. It said the initiative also seeks to leverage more than $39 million in private investment, create or retain 2,900 businesses, and train thousands of workers and students. More than $14.6 million will develop business incubators, increase access to capital, and provide other services in Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Over $13 million will support broadband development in New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. And more than $8.3 million will focus on strategies to strengthen recovery in Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, Virginia, and West Virginia.
Coffee Tree Books will be hosting a local author and chef for a signing tomorrow evening. Dana Selig is a retired Moorhead State University professor who lives in Mount Sterling. She recently released a cookbook titled Kentucky Spirited Treasures, Bourbon, Wine, and Shine. Nona Camuel with Coffee Tree Books says Selig has built a reputation at her signings.
She has her second cookbook out, and her cookbooks are fabulous. And what's really nice is she usually brings some samples of things that she has made, and the recipes are in the cookbook.
The signing will be held tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. at Coffee Tree Books.
A hearing for a lawsuit seeking to take an Attorney General hopeful off the ballot took place on Monday. Joseph Jackson of Louisville claims Republican candidate for Attorney General Daniel Cameron does not have the qualifications necessary to run for the position. Jackson's attorney, Ben Gastel, tells WIMT Cameron hasn't practiced law or had consistent clients, which is a requirement to run for Kentucky Attorney General.
With the gaps in his employment, with the judicial clerkship that he had, he simply does not have the 8 years required.
Cameron argues he practiced law for over 8 years while on Senator Mitch McConnell's counsel and at multiple law firms. If the court rules against him, Cameron plans to appeal and take the case to the Kentucky Supreme Court.
An Eastern Kentucky school board attorney is calling for schools to remove prayer lockers. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
With a prayer locker, students could slip a piece of paper into a repurposed locker to request prayer for themselves or a friend. Pike County School Board Superintendent Reed Adkins tells the Lexington Herald Leader, Kentucky's Office of Education Accountability has received complaints about the practice. A national organization is also advocating for the separation of church and state. Attorney Neil Smith says he's asking principals to stop the initiative, as having a religious space in the hallway and encouraging students to use it during the school day likely violates the First Amendment. It is unclear who started the prayer lockers. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Changes in the coal industry may be responsible for the return of black lung. A theory rapidly gaining acceptance says the recent increase in the disease among younger miners is due to the industry being forced to mine thinner coal seams. Dr. Carl Wernz is an occupational physician in Morgantown, West Virginia.
We were taught that this is a disease that you'll see a little bit of in people who have been mining for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And what's really tragic right now is that we're seeing this in young coal miners, and it's a preventable disease.
The mining safety community has been concerned with the spreading disease. Wernz says the thinner coal seam theory is not the only one, but it seems the most credible at this time.
In related news, a Kentucky group made up of black lung disease sufferers and supporters is dedicating a memorial to miners who have died of the disease. The Black Lung Association of Southeastern Kentucky is hosting the event in Whitesburg on Sunday. They will dedicate a headstone memorial for miners who have died of the disease in Letcher and surrounding counties. The dedication event will be at 2 p.m. at Riverside Park.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
A Carter County man died last month after interrupting a gas station robbery in Ohio. The Grayson Journal-Inquirer reports Andrew Kunst was a delivery driver. He was making a delivery to a Marathon station in Seaman, Ohio during the incident. The robbery was connected to a report of a fire at the assailant's address where the burned body of the perpetrator's mother was found. The perpetrator attempted to abduct the gas station clerk, which is when authorities say Kunst attempted to confront the assailant and was fatally shot. The clerk was also shot but survived the incident. A chase ensued after that robbery. During the time, it's believed the accused sustained self-inflicted gunshot wounds, resulting in his death.
The former University of Kentucky student who called in false bomb threats last November has been sentenced to 6 months in federal prison. 20-year-old Haley Duvall used the social media platform Snapchat to disperse threats against faculty, staff, and students of UK before alerting authorities and local news outlets herself. Duvall's attorney Jay Oakley tells WKYT her sentencing should stand as a warning to others.
As far as future deterrence, I mean, we've got a young lady, 20 years old, going to federal prison over threats made with no legitimate intention of actually carrying them out. If that's not deterrence, I'm not sure what else the court could have done.
Duvall must report to prison by December 2nd. She will be fined $1,800, serve 6 months on house arrest after being released, and will be on probation for 2 years.
The Mercer County Deputy Coroner confirms one person is dead after a house fire. WKYT reports the fire happened Tuesday night around 10 p.m. on Johnson Road west of Harrisburg. Neighbors living behind the home called to report the fire, and a deputy coroner says the body was charred beyond recognition. Fire Chief Rick Maxfield says when crews got there, the house was fully engulfed in flames. He said it could take weeks to know what caused the fire, but it appears to have started in the back of the house.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a death in Lee County. Troopers tell LEX 18 they were called on Sunday morning, just after 1:30 a.m., in reference to a fatal stabbing on Kentucky 52. KSP and the Beattyville Police Department responded to the scene and found the body of a man. According to their initial investigation, the man was fatally stabbed during an altercation with another man. The man found dead has been identified as 50-year-old Arvell Newton of Hazard. His body was taken to the state medical examiner's office for an autopsy. No charges have been filed at this time. The investigation is ongoing.
A Lawrence County woman is behind bars after she was found passed out behind the wheel of her vehicle. Mountaintop Media reports Lawrence County Sheriff's deputies arrested 31-year-old Lacey Crothers of Blaine after her vehicle was found in the middle of Cane Creeks Road. Deputies report that Crothers was passed out behind the wheel with two young children laying in the floorboard. Crothers was charged with operating a vehicle under the influence, possession of methamphetamine, and two counts of endangering the welfare of a minor. She's currently lodged at the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
Sherry Wand was 18 in 1981 when authorities say she was raped by Donald Berlin. Berlin was convicted 38 years later thanks to increased efforts to test backlogged rape kits. A 2015 audit revealed Kentucky had more than 3,000 untested rape kits, and Wand's case is the first conviction since Kentucky started looking into the backlog. Wanda says she thought justice would never be served until 2017, when she says a Lexington police detective called her.
And he said, "Are you Sherry Wand?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Were you at one time Sherry Dennis?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Were you the same Sherry Dennis that filed a police report for an attack in September of 1981? And at that point, my guts dropped into the floor.
Berlin had been in prison since 1982 for bank robbery and his last attempted rape, and was sentenced 38 years and one day after that attack. Berlin was sentenced 20 more years, and that will be served consecutively with his prior sentence. Taking a look at your region's weather, Thursday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 53. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 50. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers mainly before 11 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 60. Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers before 11 p.m., mostly clear overnight with a low around 38.
On our feature segment today, the West Virginia Public School System has been searching for ways to fund more counseling and support services for students. West Virginia News Service's Dan Hyman has the story.
Federal funds could help pay for badly needed behavioral health support services in public schools. Kat Stoll with the group West Virginians Together for Medicaid says young people from families caught in the drug crisis desperately need the support of counselors and social workers. She says most people agree schools are the best place to provide that help, but often don't have the money. Stoll says the good news is other states have now started to take advantage of a change in Medicaid rules that allows for use of those funds.
The federal rules have changed and opened the door wide for some additional services, particularly around behavioral health services. So we need to take advantage of that.
For every dollar the state spends under Medicaid, the feds put in nearly three. More than 40% of West Virginians under age 18 qualify. But Medicaid billing is complex, as in most health insurance, and the state's agreement with the program is also very complicated. Stoll says the state will have to decide how to best do this. For example, would it be better to have the schools bill Medicaid, or should students get the services through the state's well-established network of school-based community health clinics? Either way, Stahl says it's well worth it for West Virginia to work through the questions.
Our legislature should say to the Department of Health and Human Resources, let's look into this. Let's make sure we're maximizing our Medicaid dollars to get the kids the services they need in our schools.
During the intense debate over this year's education omnibus bill, one of the few areas of broad agreement was the need for expanded wraparound services in public schools. But many lawmakers pointed out those services might be difficult to pay for. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
It's 4:46 and 67 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. Cody Robinson has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the meats, the works, Tuscan 6 cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
MSU faces off with the Colonels. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson. Morehead State Volleyball hosts in-state rival Eastern Kentucky University tonight at Johnson Arena. Though EKU has a losing conference record so far, MSU head coach Jamie Gordon says his team isn't underestimating their opponents.
That helped us last weekend against some outstanding competition, was really to put some strong pressure on our opponent's serve receive game and serve receive offense. And then our passing has really been strong. We're starting to really solidify, which allows us a lot of different options from our offense. So I think making sure that we're continuing to grow in those strengths and then add some new layers to our game is really what we want to try and accomplish this weekend.
The Eagles are hoping to bounce back with a win after a tough road conference loss to Jacksonville State last Sunday. First serve tonight is set for 6 p.m. Morehead State Soccer is taking a breather this week in preparation for Friday night's home match against UT Martin. 7 of MSU's 11 starters are out with injury. Head coach Warren Lipka says the priority during fall break has been to help the team recuperate as much as possible.
We just had to get people healthy. We're going to have to get into the film room and watch some film and get these kids, because we're getting very, very close to missing, having kids come off the bench right now. So, we just have to gather ourselves and get people healthy and get us back on track. It's just hard when you don't have the numbers. So we just got to do the best we can.
MSU is 2-2-1 in conference play. The Eagles have two important conference matchups this weekend. After taking on UT Martin on Friday, MSU will play host to Southeast Missouri on Sunday. Four top 20 finishers, including three in the top 10, propelled Morehead State women's golf to a top three finish at the NKU Fall Classic Tuesday. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
The Eagles finished third, putting together rounds of 300 and 312 to collect the team's second straight top five finish of the season. Senior Gypsy Hutchinson claimed the sixth overall tournament team placement of her career, finishing fourth at the NKU Fall Classic. The finish marked her second top five finish of the year, joining her win at the MSU Eagle Individual Invitational. Joining Hutchinson in the top 10 were freshmen Mackenzie Neal and Haley Ritz, who tied for ninth. Richard Bridget Connolly notched the final of Morehead State's four top 20 finishers, wrapping up the event 14th. Morehead State returns to the course October 28th and 29th, competing at the Town and Country Invitational. The two-day event, hosted by Tennessee State, tees off from McCabe Golf Course in Nashville, Tennessee. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
The Roman County volleyball team faces off with Greenup County at home tonight. The Vikings are just 8 days away from closing out regular season play with a 22-8 record overall and 8-3 in the 16th region. The Lady Musketeers aren't far behind at 19-11 on the season.
Round 1 head coach Steve Walter says his team is bouncing back from injury and illness.
We've still had a couple of little nagging injuries, you know, some tendonitis and things like that, and just your regular kind of this time of year colds and sore throats, allergy stuff like that. So, you know, we've been dealing with that, but it's kind of every year everybody at this time is dealing with that.
Game time tonight in Moorhead is set for 7 p.m. The Rowan girls soccer team will face off with Fleming County Thursday night for the 61st District Championship. The Vikings took down Menifee in the tournament's first round on Tuesday night, 9-0. The Lady Panthers swept Bath County in the tourney opener on Monday, 5-0. Rowan head coach Alan Evans says his team had a chance to scout Fleming during Monday night's matchup.
Yes, Fleming County is very young and talented, and so we watched them last night. We scouted them. They took care of business with Bath County. And during the regular season, they were able to score on us. I think we beat them 7-3. And so it might be another track meet, crazy score on Thursday night. But they're very capable of producing goals. And if you get that first goal, you know, you can't let panic set in. There's plenty of time.
Both teams will advance to the regional tournament, which will be held next week at Rowan County High School. Game time on Thursday is set for 8 p.m. The Rowan County boys soccer team is also prepping for Fleming County Thursday night. The Vikings took down Menifee 8-0 in the first round of the 61st District Tuesday night. The Panthers were able to best Bath 1-0 in the tournament opener on Monday. Head coach Max Hammond says his team is focusing on continuing the winning tradition.
I'm looking for my boys to come out and play with a lot of intensity and heart and desire. And win that, I think it's 18th championship in a row, or district championship in a row. So, you know, we've got to, you know, make sure we come out and execute.
Game time Thursday is set for 6 p.m. Both teams will advance to the 16th regional tournament next week. And finally, in sports this afternoon, Rowan County will be back in action Friday night when they host Harrison County. The Vikings are looking to get back in the win column after losing two straight. Rowan head coach Kelly Ford says his team is in for a tough test from the Thoroughbreds.
Harrison County's going to come in running the football. Coach Graham is coming back to town, and he's a great mentor of mine. And I learned a lot from him when he was here. And, you know, just this week, I mean, we're texting at 1:30 in the morning to talk football. So we'll have to get ready for his run game. He's going to come in and try to run it right at us. We got to be good tacklers.
Rowan comes into the matchup at 3-4, while Harrison County sits at 3-3 on the year. Kickoff in Moorhead is at 7:30 p.m. Friday night. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Cody Robinson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball hosts Eastern Kentucky tonight at 6 p.m. and Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Soccer welcomes UT Martin at 6 p.m. on Friday and Southeast Missouri at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose for the first time in 3 days as traders hope for some kind of deal to come from U.S.-China trade talks beginning tomorrow, even if it's a limited pact. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 181.97 at 26,346.01. The S&P 500 was up 26.34 at 2919.40, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 79.96 at 7903.74. Stocks did narrow their gains heading into the close after it was reported that China had lowered their expectations for these talks, and Apple shares contributed big time to the gains today, rising 1.3% after an analyst hiked his price target on the iPhone maker to 260 from 240. Tech was the best performing sector in the S&P 500, gaining more than 1%. Separately, the Financial Times reported that officials in China are offering to increase purchases of U.S. agricultural products in order to reach a partial deal. Stocks, of course, were down sharply yesterday as expectations for progress on the trade talks dimmed, with the Dow losing more than 300 points. And, of course, those expectations were lowered amid U.S. visa restrictions on Chinese officials and the addition of more Chinese companies to a U.S. trade blacklist this week. The Federal Reserve released its minutes from the September meeting, and the minutes that were released showed the trade war remains a concern for Fed officials. However, they also showed central bank officials think the market may be overly optimistic about the number of rate cuts moving forward. Stocks showed little reaction to the minutes. In the commodities markets, oil was up just barely up 6 cents a barrel at $52.69 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% at $1,511.40 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks had a fair day, with the Stock 600 up 0.4%. And in Asia, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.6% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.4%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp, 24 cents at $52.62, Lowe's down 21 cents at $106.29, Delta Airlines up 74 cents at $53.94, Marathon Petroleum up 75 cents at $60.57, and Yum Brands was up 67 cents to finish at $113.26. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook, and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Taking a look at your region's weather, Thursday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 53. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 50. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers mainly before 11 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 60. Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers before 11 p.m., mostly clear overnight with a low around 38.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead will host a reading and book signing by author Misty Skaggs from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, October the 12th. The Elliott County native will read from her new book, Planted by the Signs. The event is open to the public. The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling presents an international spotlight dinner celebrating the food, fashion, music, and culture of Argentina on Saturday, October 12th. Dinner begins at 6 p.m. and tickets are $25. The Star Theater at Moorhead State University offers a public laser show every Saturday at 4 p.m. Laser shows offer exciting and engaging music and light presentations. Schedule and visitor information can be found at moorheadstate.edu/StarTheater. The Rowan County Public Library is hosting a literary pumpkin pageant, where individuals of all ages are invited to paint a pumpkin of a storybook character or a book theme. Pumpkins will be displayed at the library for voting. Prizes will be awarded, and deadline to enter is October the 15th. The Community Recycling Center, located near the Moorhead City Park, offers paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Rowan County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Cost is $15 per hour, secure and confidential. Drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. The Rowan County Public Library will host a fall fun night at 6 p.m. on Thursday, October 17th. Games, stories, and refreshments. Children of all ages 12 and under are invited to come in costume as their favorite storybook character. The event is free and open to the public. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Michael Green, Nacogdoches Miller, Wyatt Melton, Lori Likens, Sarah Mead, Cody Robinson, and Shamari Mosley. Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from West Virginia News Service's Dan Hyman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.